Father, we thank you for those that have come today. We thank you for the rain that we did receive. We pray for showers of blessing inside of here today, inside of each heart, Lord, that you would revive us in those areas that we need reviving in. We pray that you would just be blessed by our service here this morning. We dedicate it to you for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just join right in this morning.
I believe the true report. Hallelujah to the land. I have passed the outer court.
Sing of my redeemer.
at Pentecost thou didst thy power display. With cleansing, purifying flame, descend on us today. All self-consume, all sin destroy,
with earnest zeal and do, each waiting heart to work for thee, O Lord, our faith renew. Lord, send the old-time power, the Pentecostal power, like one day's a blessing.
Once more, can't we? One more time.
Sinners be converted.
careful what you ask for. You know, the scripture says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And think of what you just asked for. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. Wouldn't that be an event? Wouldn't that be something? I think we could use it. I think we could stand the experience. It might bust some buttons or something, but they were in the upper chamber and expecting great and mighty things of God. That's scripture. Next verse.
Yes, this power from heaven descended with the sound of rushing wind. Tongues of fire came down upon them as the Lord said he would send.
Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Just now and baptize everyone.
Yes, this old time power was given to our fathers who were Jews. This is promised to believers, and we all may have it too.
Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone.
Stand with me.
As we go through the harvest, makes the overwhelming need. In our own strength we will falter, for thy spirit now we bleed. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Just now, oh Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone.
Once more.
Oh Lord, send the power just now. Just now, oh Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone.
Cross the page, number 485, 'tis burning in my soul. Talking about the power of God, and here it says, God sent his mighty power. God sent his mighty power to this poor sinful heart. Keep me every hour and meet for grace apart. And since his spirit came to take supreme control, the love and kindle flame is burning in my soul. It's burning in my soul.
It's burning in my soul. The fire of heavenly love is burning in my soul. The Holy Spirit came for glory to his name. The fire of heavenly love is burning in my soul.
Before the cross above, upon the altar laid, I will bring offering now, my offering day to day.
fit for crimes that I have done.
He groaned on the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there.
Jesus.
Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Scripture says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I want to pick out those words in the second clause there of that sentence, be filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for this time today and for these words and for your Holy Spirit. We pray that your anointing would rest upon us, that we would all leave here today filled. For we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, you're going to think that Bob and I conspired today to put the service together, but we didn't. We sung a lot of songs about Pentecost, and today I want to talk about the filling of the Spirit. And I want you to notice, first of all, that it's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. It's not an option. It is a command for every believer to be filled with the Spirit. And if it's a command, that means that an act of personal obedience or disobedience is involved. So if you are not filled with the Spirit, personal disobedience is involved because we have been commanded, and we are not commanded to do things that are not possible. We are to be filled with the Spirit. I trace that word filling throughout the Old and New Testament, and I'm not going to take the time this morning to share every verse where I found that, but I would like to hit some highlights. In Exodus, first of all, in chapter 31, verses 2 and 3, God said, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship." And so the Holy Spirit can fill us for special tasks, and he can fill us in different ways and for different purposes. Here's a man that was needed to have the fullness of the Spirit. It was needed in order for him to complete the task of constructing the tabernacle. And so God filled him with the Spirit so that he had wisdom and knowledge and ability to be able to carry out that calling on his life. The angel told Zechariah that John should be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And we know that that happened when Mary came in and Elizabeth heard her voice, that the babe, John the Baptist, leapt for joy and was filled with the Holy Ghost while he was still in his mother's womb. That was needed for John the Baptist to be effective in his ministry. He needed the filling of the Holy Spirit to be effective in the ministry that God had called him to be the forerunner of the Messiah. The New Testament says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them." That was needed for preaching. Peter needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that he could preach the Word of God effectively to those that would listen. Their prayer meetings of the early church were characterized like this. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness." Paul dealt with deceit, sorcery, and trickery. And in Acts chapter 13, verses 9 and 10, it says, "Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" That filling of the Spirit was needed for Paul in this particular case to be able to exercise discernment. He needed to be able to discern the spirit of that person and what was behind that person. And so he had the fullness of the Spirit to be able to do that. One of the Beatitudes makes this promise: "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Filled with what? Filled with Christ. Filled with His Spirit. And then when the apostles were to look for deacons, in Acts chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, it says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we appoint over this business. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen and Philip and others there. But they were men who were chosen because they were full of the Spirit, and they needed to be full of the Spirit so that they could serve the church. Notice that the men were to be full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. That's God's intent for every single one of us. God's intent for all of us is to be full of faith and to be full of the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Spirit. And so there are a number of reasons why we need to be filled. We might need it to be able to perform some task. We might need the infilling to be able to preach the Word of God effectively. We might need the infilling so that we might minister to the Lord and for the Lord effectively. We might need the infilling so that we could use discernment in these deceitful and wicked times in which we live. We might need discernment and we might need the fullness of the Spirit so we might serve the church effectively. It's God's intent that you be full, that you be filled with the Spirit. So what are some of the results of being full of the Holy Ghost? Because of who the Holy Spirit is, He is the Spirit of the Son. He is the Spirit of the Father. He is holy. He is comfort. He is light. He is might. He is wisdom. He is knowledge. He is understanding. He is revelation. He is prophecy. He is judgment. He is truth. He is grace. He is glory. He is adoption. He is fire. There is a glorious fullness that comes to us when we are full of the Holy Spirit. It's a fullness of being and all that the Holy Spirit is, He carries inside of us so that we become that being. There is relationship. There is unity. There is communion. There is freedom. There is strength. There is ability. There is character. There is inspiration. There is love. This really, when you think about it, is a heavenly living in an earthly existence. The Holy Spirit makes living on earth seem like living in heaven. I want to expound on a few of those things that I mentioned this morning. First of all, there is adoption. The Spirit of adoption. In Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17, we read, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs." Think about that. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. You think about that and you have to exclaim, that's something for an orphan. What a privilege for an orphan. When you have the Spirit of Christ, when you have the fullness of the Spirit, when you are filled with the Spirit of God, you have the feeling that you are wanted. The Spirit of adoption comes and lets you know that you are wanted, that you belong. You are a part of God's family. You have rights. You have requests. You have an inheritance. We were children of wrath, but God changed that. He changed our destination and He changed our character and He adopted us into His family. We are adopted. The Holy Spirit makes that real to you today. If you're not so sure about your relationship with the Lord, if you're not so sure where you stand, you don't really feel like a child of His, you need this truth this morning. You need the fullness of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit comes and He makes you feel wanted. We are accepted in the Beloved. We belong. It is my privilege to have this assurance. The fullness leaves no room for doubt. 1 Peter 1, 4 and 5, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." So there is adoption. Number two, there is comfort. There is comfort. The Holy Spirit, of course, is the comforter. And He is able to comfort us in all of our situations. And that's great because Acts chapter 14 and verse 22 tells us something that at first we kind of stagger at. The words are this: "We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of God. Were comfort missing, quite frankly, I don't think that I could make it. Without the comfort of the Holy Spirit, I'm not sure that I could make it through the tribulation to enter into the kingdom of God. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Comforter. And you know what? You need the Comforter on a day-by-day basis. Were comfort missing? I doubt that you could make it. Comfort is the thing that sustains the martyr. It makes prison bearable. It immunizes grief. It furnishes sanity in the midst of loss. And you know, the world is envious at Christians who have discovered this kind of comfort and this kind of peace. It seems like Paul and Silas, beaten men, sing and glow while fastened in stocks. It so amazed the people that heard them sing. It so amazed the people that were locked in that prison with them that they wanted to become like them. And it amazed the Philippian jailer so much so that he asked one of the greatest questions ever asked in all of the Bible, in all of history, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He saw the comfort of these men. He said, "I want that comfort. In my life, in my trials, in my tribulations, and the things that I go through, I want the comfort that Paul and Silas have." And you know what? People look at you, and if they see comfort and peace in the midst of trials and tribulations, they look at you and they say, "I want that. I want to be like them. I want that comfort. I want that peace." And it's the fullness of the Holy Spirit that makes that possible. The infilling of the Holy Spirit makes that possible. And we all need comfort, and we need it every day. It's like oil to an engine, or rain to soil, or shade to heat. Number one, there is adoption. Number two, there is comfort. Number three, there is freedom. The Holy Spirit has come to set us free. He breaks the shackles. The Holy Spirit applies God's proclamation of emancipation that if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. When the Holy Spirit sets people free, they know it. And everybody else knows it. They get rid of their grave clothes. They come out of the tomb. They're risen. They're alive. The Holy Spirit makes us free. Number four, there is might or strength. There is might or strength. He is the Spirit of power or authority. God does not want weak children. I say that again. God does not want weak children. He doesn't want weak Christians. You know why? There are Goliaths to be fought. There are challenges out there. There are giants that stand in our way. They need to be fought. There are walls that need to tumble. There are Midianites to scatter. There are fields that need to be burned. There are youths that need to be anointed. The Bible commands us over and over and over and over again to be strong. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. He gives power. If you feel faint today, he'll give you power. If you're weak, he wants to give you strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. The strength is in the youth. But even those youths that do not know Christ, they will become weary and they shall fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How do you account for the fact that Queen Mary of Scotland feared the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of England? How do you account for the fact that 3,000 were converted under one message brought by Peter? Human effort is never enough. One shall chase 1,000 and two shall put 10,000 to flight, but I'll tell you, the key is the filling of the Holy Spirit. And it's continuous action. Be filled and continue to be filled. Number five, there is fire. There is fire. Matthew 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, John the Baptist speaking. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And fire was manifest on the day of Pentecost. cloven tongues of fire came and sat upon each of them. The Holy Spirit generates and eliminates the redundancies, the extra things in our life are burned off. Suddenly there is a new focus. There is a new hunger and a new desire for the Lord. Our life ceases to be cluttered by so many additional things. Our life is pruned. We return to essentials. We begin to see things in light of eternity, and eternity has more value. There is a new and renewed determination in our life. God is returned to first place. These are some of the results of the Holy Spirit baptizing with fire. There is unquestioning obedience. The fire has refined us. The fire has brought to the surface those things that are useless and wasteless, and has burned those things off, and we begin to see eternity, and we begin to see that which is really important. And the Holy Spirit is flame enough to burn out the bitterness and the jealousy and the pride and all impurity. And maybe you're here today, and like all of us, we struggle with these things from time to time. There's jealousy, or there's pride, or there's something else in your life, and you don't like it, and you want to get rid of it. Maybe you need a new baptism of fire today. The Holy Spirit gives you self-control. You say, you know, I can't help myself. I can't help the feeling of jealousy, or I can't help the feeling of pride, or I just feel this way and I can't help it. You know what? You can't. You're right. You cannot help it. But the Holy Spirit, as God fills you with Him, is your help to burn those things off and to refine you. How does the Holy Spirit do it? Well, the Bible uses the term crucify. The Holy Spirit takes you to the cross. Calvary furnishes miracles. That's the place where hell fought and was defeated. Your anger, your pride, whatever it is, cannot stand at Calvary. They die there. They are crucified. That's what happens to your old man. You get rid of that old self. Maybe you're here today and you need a baptism of fire. You can tell, you know, Pastor, I'm not really full. Yeah, I might have the Holy Spirit in me, and there's a little bit in there, or there's a lot in there, but I'm not really full because I'm still struggling with some of these things. I want you to pray today to be filled. Pray for the fullness of the Spirit. You see, I think you could probably be filled without being all the way full. And those deacons that were chosen, they were to be men full of the Holy Ghost. Over and over the Bible says filled, 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 and it comes and it says full. And I think many Christians are filled with the Spirit. They've got Him up to a certain level, but they're not full. We are to be filled again and again and again. You know, we minister or we do something and we give of ourselves and we're drained. And we're not full of the Holy Ghost at that point. We've given it out. We need to go back to the Lord and be refilled so that we can go out and do it again. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily the baptism of the Holy Spirit here. That's something different. We'll explain that later. But I am talking about the fact that every single Christian can be filled. When you are saved, the Holy Spirit comes in. Every Christian can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Can be full. And number six, there is holiness. There is holiness. Holiness is positive as well as negative. For some reason, we tend to focus on the negative. But there is also a positive side to holiness. The Holy Spirit eliminates the poisons, but it also adds the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, their growth and their development in me is the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. See, I cannot grow into holiness, but I can grow in holiness. I can't make myself holy. I can't grow into that. I can't do nothing. I can't be good enough to become holy. The Lord makes me holy, but then I can grow in that holiness. And it's a beautiful thing to see yourself grow. It's a little idea of what the Bible means by the command, be filled with the Spirit. I want you to know that it's exciting. It's an exciting life to be filled with the Spirit. And I want you to know something else. This experience is for all of you. That's for every single person. You might be sitting here and thinking, oh, that's fine for somebody else, but it's not for me. It's for you. It's for all of us. It's the Lord's desire. It's His intent that we all be filled with faith and the Spirit. Luke 11:13 says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You see, it's really quite simple. Yes, there's the responsibility to be full of the Spirit is with us. There is a responsibility on our part. Our responsibility is to ask for it, is to pray and to ask the Lord to fill us with His Spirit. And then He promises that He will do that. Remember our empty container up here this morning. If you pray and you ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit, He will do that. And then you might go out and you might minister. And you've given it all that you can and you come back, you're dry and you need to come back to the Lord and get more. And the Holy Spirit will fill you again. And there will be more made available to you so that you can go and you can minister to the Lord on His behalf. And some of you today might be filled up to this point. But I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you to go for more. Go for the fullness. Go for the top. Be filled with everything that God has for you this morning. Get it all. Don't stop short. Say, Lord, I want everything that You have. I want Your Holy Spirit in fullness, in operation in my life. And you know what happened? He just continues to pour out. And we could stand here in church today all day and have the Holy Spirit continue to pour out Himself upon us. He's inexhaustible. He never runs out. There's never a shortage of God's Spirit. There's always enough to go around. In fact, the Holy Spirit is so powerful and strong that He not only wants to fill us, He wants to flow out of us. He wants to fill us not only full, He wants to fill us to overflowing. And the purpose for the overflowing supply of the Holy Spirit is so that we have the power to do His work, the power to be His witness, the power to do the exploits, the great exploits of God. And you know, people have a hard time explaining and understanding the fullness of the Spirit with the baptism of the Spirit. I've demonstrated to you the fullness of the Spirit, but when the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes up, it's like He inundates us. There's so much of Him that it begins to flow out of us. And it's like a riverbank that's flooded, that's inundated. And the word baptized really means to be immersed, to be flooded. We are flooded with His supply of the Spirit. There's so much that it comes out, and then it comes and it reaches those that are near us. People that we come in contact with, the Spirit of Christ that has come from us, as they come in contact with it, their lives are changed and they are touched. And the way that we know that this has happened, that we have been baptized and the Holy Spirit has overflowed to others, is there's evidence of speaking in unknown languages or tongues. My prayer today is that you seek the fullness, that you seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The only question that's left for us is, have you asked? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Have you asked? The only thing that's holding you back this morning is, have you asked? Okay, have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. Be filled with the Spirit. It is not an option. It is a command. The act of personal disobedience in the believer is involved. And I'm here to tell you today that you need the Holy Spirit. You need the fullness. You need to be filled. It's needed for tasks. It's needed for effective ministry. It's needed in your prayer life. It's needed as you witness. It's needed for discernment. It's needed to serve. It's needed. It's needed. Whatever level or aspect of the Holy Spirit you are thinking about today, you have but need to ask. Gail, can we play? Fill my cup, Lord. Can we do that? And I'd like just to ask you right now, before we go any further, if there is anybody here who you've not asked Jesus to be your Savior yet. You might not even know what I'm talking about today then. But what happens when you ask Jesus to be your Savior? His Spirit comes and lives inside of you, the Holy Spirit. And then He can begin to fill you. But you cannot begin to be filled until you have first said, Father, I am a sinner. I repent of my sins and I receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And then a miracle happens. You are adopted into God's family. And the Holy Spirit makes you feel wanted in that family. Is there anybody here, just by a raised hand, you would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to be adopted into God's family. See, if you don't do that, you are a child of disobedience. You're on the wrong road. Quite frankly, this morning, you're on the road to hell. You're on the road to death and eternal separation from God. But God wants to change your destination. And He'll change your character along the way. Anybody here by a raised hand, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to be adopted into God's family today. I need forgiveness for my sins. Could I just see your hand up and then down? How many here today, by an uplifted hand, you would admit that you were not all the way full? Or you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, that you've overflowed? Could I see your hands this morning? Amen. Would you right now, right where you are at, just say, Lord, would you fill me? Father, would you give me the good gift of the Holy Ghost?
Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up.
Prayer earnestly desire it today.
Fill my cup, Lord. Lift it up, Lord. This is thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want more.
You've heard the cry of the heart today. Lord, you know the desire of each one. I pray, Lord, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, fill us again and again and again and again. And Lord, as we go out and we empty ourselves, and it's like we drain the supply of Spirit that is in us, Lord, that you would refill us after each occurrence. Lord, that we would never run dry. That for not one moment would we ever waste or be in need of supply. But Lord, we would always have it. Lord, for those that have not experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that they would receive that. Lord, that you would just give them this gift. We believe and we trust that you will do it. And we believe it's theirs today because they have asked. And you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. You are the giver of the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we thank you for giving him to us. We thank you for giving him to us. And we receive in Jesus' name. We thank you for this day. We pray your blessing upon us as we leave here today. Pray that you would give us a good afternoon as we concentrate on you today. Lord, as we give you honor on this day that is so rightfully yours. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.